My, oh my, what's up with LSU baseball? Losers of four straight, embarrassed last night by Arkansas. LSU softball, what's happened to their league best offense? They are in an absolute slump. Oh, well, that's okay. In the NBA, oh, we got some great games, including tonight, Game 6, the Warriors at Houston. How do the Warriors get 34 points that they're missing now that KD is out? And we'll catch up with a former Tiger who played 13 years in the NFL and now a national broadcaster. These stories and more today. Oh, yeah, it's Friday. Yes, May the 10th, 2019.
Embiid with the rebound. Man, was he high in the air on the release. Couldn't get it to go. 8 of 19 for Leonard. Embiid with the ball. Shoots a three. It's up and in. Joel Embiid knocking down a three. And the Sixers go up by 22 points. Their largest lead in the game.
Collins dribbles. Gets back to Hood with seven to shoot. Top of the key. Three on the way. Got it! Again, Rodney Hood, a playoff career high with 25 points, and the Blazers lead by 14.
Osuna's set, delivers, and that's lined into right field, fairly deep. Redick is back at the wall. He leaps at the wall, and he caught it! He caught it! Oh, my goodness! Redick just robbed a three-run home run from Hunter Pence. Runners retreat, and there are two. About that.
How about that? The game-winning, game-saving, three-run home run robbing catch in right field to rob Hunter Pence, and the Astros get the win. Damon Lillard and CJ McCollum combined for 62 points as the Blazers top Denver 119-108 to tie that series at three games apiece. Game 7, the deciding game on Sunday, and Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, and company beat Kawhi Leonard and the Raptors 112-101 to tie their series as well at three games apiece. We could have three Game 7s on Sunday, depending upon the outcome of tonight's massive game at Houston, as the Golden State Warriors up 3-2 take on the Houston Rockets. And with that, we say a great good afternoon and welcome. It's graduation day at LSU. Spring semester graduates, to all of you, congratulations. CD back in the master control suite in the 237 Roof Studios on the campus of Delta Media, KLWB, 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com. You can always call us at 337-706-0111. You can email me, askjordy@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. You can tweet us at JHS1037. Wow. What's up with LSU baseball? For the first time in Paul Menieri's tenure as LSU's head coach, his team has now lost back-to-back games by double digits. LSU was embarrassed by Arkansas 14-4 as the Tiger pitching gave up a whopping 15 hits and 5 home runs in the blowout, including a fourth inning grand slam. Their record now is 30-20 overall, 14-11 in SEC play. This pitching staff, which was considered the strength of the team at the beginning of the season. They've had a myriad of injuries, but still, this pitching staff has given up 45 runs on 55 hits in the last three games. What in the world is that? What is that? Now, I said 45 runs in the last three games. That's the most in a three-game scheme since Skip Bertman gave up 50 at the end of the 1997 regular season. They lost at Alabama 28-2. They lost at Arkansas 16-1. That team figured out something. They flipped the switch, and they went on to win the College World Series. That's not happening with this club. That's just not. They are. What did Les Miles used to say? Chest? They just don't seem to have much of a chest. They're a good front-running team. They get ahead, boom. Now, I know you're going to say, well, Jordan, they were six runs down the other day against Ole Miss, and they rallied and tied it. So they showed a lot of fight. Then they ended up losing it in the 10th. That was then. Then they lose badly to Louisiana Tech, and now they get blown out by Arkansas. Just doesn't seem to have the same fight in them anymore. They just don't. And that does not bode well. Game two tonight will start at 6:30. So that means pregame show at 6. Chris Blair, Bill Franke is on the call of the game at 6:30 right here on 103.7 The Game. It was bad for baseball. It was equally as bad for softball. Throughout the course of the regular season, LSU hung its hat on its offense. The best offense in the SEC. Well, they're in a major, major slump. They got swept by Alabama, and they couldn't hardly score a run. And then, as the number three seed in the SEC tournament, the Tigers, one and done. Done. History. They get shut out 3-0 by the Florida Gators. That picture, Kelly Barnhill, was just too good. Only gave up one hit, and that came off of a bunt single. And that was it. One hit. They struck out 7 times, and the Florida Gators move on to the semifinals. With the loss, LSU softball fell to 40-16 on the season, and they will find out on Sunday night. They'll host a regional, but they'll find out who they host and who they're matched up with if they get out of that regional. They'll have to travel, in all likelihood, for a super regional. Let me tell you what we have on the store for you today. Wilson Alexander of The Advocate will join us live from Fayetteville. Try to figure out, give some rhyme or reason as to what has happened to this baseball team. They are a shell of their former self. I know there's injuries involved, but there's something lacking here. There is something amiss. And we'll try to figure out what that is and can they correct it. They've got 5 regular season games left in the SEC. Of course, the magic number that coaches always talk about is you want to get to 20 wins in league play. Well, LSU, if they do the unthinkable and win their last 5 in a row, they would get to 19 wins. So there's that's a ship that's taking in water right now. Now, they can plug it up and scoop all that water out and have clear sailing, or they can take on more water tonight. We'll find out with Wilson Alexander. We'll have our Hot Topic segment in hour number 2, as we always do. Then Henry Hayes will join us to talk about the dysfunction that is the Los Angeles Lakers organization. Is it time for the Buss family, is it time for Jenny Buss to sell the franchise? Because they're taking this thing down, spiraling ever so quickly to becoming what looks like the West Coast version of the New York Knicks. The once prized possession known as the Lakers are just flummoxing into oblivion. They can't hire a coach. They don't know who's making decisions. They can't get any free agent players to come play with LeBron. If I'm LeBron James, here's what I tell them. Honestly, look, I signed on for 4 years. Magic Johnson said he'd be here for all of them. He's not. Luke Walton wasn't the right coach. I told you I wanted Tyronn Lue, but you didn't give him a long enough contract. If you can't get me the right coach, trade me, please. Trade me. That's what I do. And the Lakers would probably be wise to adhere to it, in all honesty. So we'll talk to Henry Hayes about the Lakers. And what does it look like for the Pelicans and their attempt to get as much as they possibly can of value in trading Anthony Davis? We'll talk to Henry about that. And then I'm really looking forward to talking to my friend, played football, played safety at LSU, was an undrafted free agent, signed with the Giants. He made his money as a safety for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He got to 2 Super Bowl games. He won one, lost one. He had a cup of coffee twice with the Washington Redskins. Now a broadcaster covering the NFL for ESPN. My good friend Ryan Clark will join us, and we'll talk about life and careers and stuff. I love talking with former athletes who have now been successful in their post-athletic career. It's a lot of fun. We had Jeff Wickersham on and talking about his daughter on the softball team. So we'll talk with Ryan Clark at around 3:30 this afternoon. So a busy day. We'll take our first time out of the day. We'll head to Fayetteville, Arkansas, and we'll try to make hide nor hair of what's going on with this LSU baseball team. Wilson Alexander of The Advocate will join us next here on the Jordy Helfrich Show on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, and around the world on 103.7thegame.com.
Taking the hottest topics and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Well, welcome back. 17 minutes after the hour. Let's spend 10 good minutes with Wilson Alexander of The Advocate. It's raining here, but Wilson, it's pouring on the Tigers in Fayetteville. My goodness gracious, another double-digit loss. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm great. I'm eating some really good lunch in Fayetteville. The weather's nice, and personally, I'm doing great.
That's good. That's good. Same can't be said for LSU. And I'm going to read a quote that you got from Daniel Cabrera after the ball game last night. He said, "We've got to flush all the bad losses we've had recently. We're a really good team when we play together. We've got to know that, and we've got to come out with some confidence tomorrow," meaning today, "and know that when we play our game, we can beat anybody." What did you get out of that when he says, "We're a really good team when we play together"? What does that mean to you?
To me, that means that they haven't put, like, I mean, this has kind of been a theme all year, that one game they're hitting just, you know, the ball out of the ballpark, and then next, but they're not pitching well, and the next game that flips. And they haven't been able to put pitching and hitting together for long stretches of time this season. And that's kind of what that means, I think.
Okay. I'm going to say this, and I can say, well, I can contradict what I'm saying right now, because against Ole Miss, they were down and out with two outs in the ninth, and he had back-to-back-to-back home runs, and they tied the game. So they still had fight in them. It just looked like last night they were lost. Like they didn't – they fell behind, and they went, forget it. Let's not even worry about this thing. Let's move on. Am I wrong there?
I think that's quite true. No, okay. I don't think so. Because, like, I asked Daniel that. I mean, like, as a hitter, is it kind of tough? Do you zone out a little bit when you get down that much? And he said no. Like, you got to – because he referenced that Ole Miss game. Like, you know, we were down, and we just kind of – you know, it just sort of piled up, and but they kept going. And got a waitress asking me a question.
That's okay.
I just think that you know, they don't – I think the fight is there, but it is easy to get down on yourself when you're suddenly losing by double digits for the second straight game.
They've given up a lot of runs and a lot of hits in the last three games, and it just seems to be snowballing. I wonder what the confidence level is. And here's where you have the trouble, because you want to say all the right things. You want to do all the right things. I wonder how the everyday players feel about the pitchers right now, and are the pitchers carrying this burden of the weight of the world on their shoulders, that where they, man, if I make a mistake, they're going to hit a home run, I'm going to let my team down. It's just a fine line there, isn't it?
Yeah, and especially because the season's getting so close to the end that the pressure is mounting to, you know, win games so you can host a regional. So, mm-hmm. I mean, they definitely understand that, like, they've got to win some games now to, like Daniel said, you know, we got to flush it. Well, they use that word a lot. when they've yes. lost games. They've lost a couple games in a row. They like to use that word flush, and something's got to give. You know, something's got to happen for them to actually flush. You know, they really need a great start out of Eric Walker today. They need the pitching to get back on track because it's been, I mean, atrocious the last few games.
Yeah, I don't know what you do with that. You only have so many arms you can put out there as a starter, and I know Hilliard's trying his best, but, man, you hang a curveball against a team like Arkansas, and you're going to pay the price.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. He hung a couple curveballs, and Arkansas hit the ball out of the ballpark. The pitching staff right now is just so thin. I think the loss of Cole Henry has been huge. Obviously, they've been dealt, you know, injuries all year, but Cole has stepped up as their best pitcher, and with him out, they lost depth, and they lost their best arm. And I don't think you can understate how much of an effect that's had on them recently.
No question about that. Pulmonary saying all the right things, but, you know, what else can he do at this point in time? Let me ask you this.
Does he need to
go out there and get ejected from a game, do something out of the normal to show his – I know the players believe in him and he believes in them, but – maybe do something out of the ordinary, right? I mean, you got to do something to change up what's going on.
Right. I mean, something's got to change for them to turn around just because there's so little bit of time left. I don't know if going out and getting ejected is the right way to do it. But, you know, just showing passion, I guess, is what you're trying to get at. And, you know, like people haven't seen that a lot recently, and they didn't have it really at all against Louisiana Tech. So, mm-hmm. I think it really needs to come from the players, though, not just Paul, because the best teams, you know, in sports are usually player-led, and so these players need to rally together to turn this thing around. Probably got to come from them.
Well, he didn't have to use Zach Kess at all last night, and didn't use Fontenot, so they've got plenty of arms left. Eric Walker gets the start tonight, right? And I mean, what kind of leash is he going to have? You're already down one game in the series. You can't fall behind too much in this thing.
Yeah, I mean, they'll let him go as long as he's pitching well. You know, I mean, we saw him against Mississippi State. Gosh, it feels like so long ago. Go, I guess, 7 innings and pitch, as best as he has since his freshman year. And he's pitched all right in his last couple outings, not so much against Ole Miss. But he's got to just give them off to a good start. If he goes five, if he can get into the sixth inning and, you know, keep the game close, then they'll be satisfied because then he can get to Hess and use them in a tight game.
Yeah, we keep talking about the pitching, all right? And, you know, yeah, Cole Henry, Jaden Hill. But, look, those are two freshmen. They've got to combine 10 starts to their names. There's got to be something else to this. What's going on offensively with this club? Are they up there at the plate saying, "Man, I got to do it on my own. I gotta get us back in this thing single-handedly"? Is that what they mean by playing together or not playing together? What's up with the offense?
It's just so inconsistent. I mean, we saw back-to-back-to-back home runs against Ole Miss, scoring 15, and then the next day, against Louisiana Tech, they're just nothing there. And so it's weird because you look at their offensive numbers and they're not terrible, but they're so skewed because they put them up, put everything into one game and then nothing the next game. And I'm not sure what the root cause of that is. But that's what's kind of, what we're seeing. And I'm not sure how they change that. I'm not sure they know how they change that. But something's got to change.
I guess they'll stick with the same lineup. I mean, who knows? Desperate times call for desperate measures. But they've tried just about everything and everybody. I don't know what you do.
At a certain point, the players just got to play better,
Yeah. You're right. Wilson Alexander, the Advocate, in the throes. What's on the plate today, by the way? Just out of curiosity, since I haven't had lunch today, I'm starving.
Oh, man. Well, I got a couple things going here because I hadn't eaten until just now. I slept in a little bit. And so I've got, scrambled eggs and potatoes and, kind of your traditional breakfast and then a nice big salad to go. So I'm looking forward to that, too.
Oh, a little late brunch from my boy in Fayetteville.
Yeah.
All right. So the weather's good there?
Yes, it is. Yesterday was kind of gross, especially considering it, 2 days earlier they had played in 90 degrees or whatever in Baton Rouge. But it is sunny, low 60s, nice little breeze. It'll get colder, though, once the game comes around and that sun dips.
There you go. Third consecutive game, LSU found itself down by double digits. Is Arkansas just the better team? I mean, the record's better. Five home runs. It's just, I mean, sometimes you got to tip your hat and say, okay, you're the better team. Or is there that big of a difference between the two of them?
Arkansas is rolling right now. Number five in the country. They came one out away from winning the, you know, championship last year. And, you know, they're a really good team. And they're probably a lot better than LSU. And LSU also just is not playing up to its talent right now. Arkansas is definitely a great team, though.
Sounds good. I will let you get back to your scrambled eggs, your healthy late brunch, and go have fun tonight at the ballgame. Thanks for the time, man. And we'll see.
I appreciate it.
Go find a possum or something and go stick it out on the field. Find something.
I'll do my best. I appreciate
all
the
right,
time.
Buddy.
I hope you get some lunch, too.
There you go, buddy. You take care. Wilson Alexander, the Advocate. Arkansas is maybe the hottest team in the league, one of the hottest teams in the country, but LSU's not playing up to their level. There's no question. And everybody says they've got too much talent to be in this situation. Well, it's time for the talent to rise up. Talking about talent is one thing, but give me those guys that are gritty, that get dirty, that get after it, that battle and battle and battle. And it's easy to do that when you're ahead. Everything's great when you're ahead. Now, when you're down by a couple of runs, now what do you do? So, Eric Walker on the Hill, we'll have the game for you. Pre-game 6, first pick 6:30. Man, dark cloud over LSU baseball. We'll be back. NBA time next.
Play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show. Live and local. 103.7 The Game.
All right, we're back. 32 minutes after the hour, your opportunity to give us a call at 337-706-0111. It's the hotline to get involved. We've got one game in the NBA tonight, the Golden State Warriors at the Houston Rockets, 8 o'clock tip. And we all know by now that there will be no Kevin Durant for the Golden State Warriors. Not only does he lead his team in scoring, but he leads the entire NBA in scoring in the playoffs this season, 34 points a game, and he's a guy when all else fails, you just get it to him and get out of his way and let him go to work. And he has been some kind of effective. Well, they're going to not have those 34 points. So it's going to be very interesting to see how the Warriors respond to this. I know what Draymond Green's saying. I can tell you right now what he's saying on the bus, at the team hotel, in the locker room. Hey, we love you, Kevin. We miss you. Man, yeah, we sure could use you. But we won more games in a regular season than any team in NBA history, and we didn't have Kevin Durant. We won an NBA title, and we didn't have Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant joined us after the fact. And, yes, he's won two straight championships. And, yes, he was the finals MVP two consecutive times. Absolutely. But they used to have Curry, Thompson, Draymond Green, and they still do. Looney's been really, really good at center for the Warriors. And now they'll just have to get more production elsewhere. So they're without two of their, what they call the greatest five players put together on one team, in theory. Now that Boogie Cousins is out and Kevin Durant is out, that five is down to three. So we'll see. But look, all the pressure in the world is on the Houston Rockets, because everybody, including Vegas, expects them to win. They're a 6-point favorite in the ballgame. If Kevin Durant's playing for the Warriors, it's a whole different ballgame. I think Houston's still favored, but probably by a point to a point and a half. But all the pressure's on James Harden, and in particular, Chris Paul, who has not played well He's had a tough go of things. So it's going to be fun to watch on that note. Meanwhile, we had two not really close games last night. The Philadelphia Sixers beat the 76ers beat the Toronto Raptors 112-101. And in all the wins, you know that you're going to get a great performance out of Kawhi Leonard. And that was certainly the case last night with 29 points and 12 rebounds. Got a pretty good game from Pascal Siakam at the other forward spot with 21 points and 6 rebounds and 3 assists. The key is who's your third best player, and Kyle Lowry only came up with 13 points. So that is always the key to the Toronto Raptors. What kind of game does Lowry give you? Meanwhile, Joel Embiid played 36 minutes, had 17 points and 12 rebounds. Ben Simmons was much better with 21, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. But Jimmy Butler was the spark plug. He got it going early. He got it going often. He was aggressive, taking the ball to the basket, and ended up with 25. So the whole starting lineup, Tobias Harris with 16, J.J. Redick with 11, all 5 in double figures. Mike Scott gets you 11 off the bench, and now we have a game 7 coming your way. So Philly has all the talent in the world. It's just, can they get Joel Embiid feeling good? They shot 46% from the field, 37%, 6% from 3, and 77% from the free throw line. They dominated on the boards, 52-34, and that was the difference in the ballgame. Plus a 14-point points in the paint advantage in that one. So Philly gets it done, and now we have a game 7 there on Sunday in Toronto. Meanwhile, the other in the West, now a game 7, Portland beats Denver 119-108. This has been a series where road team has won once, but now game 7 in Denver. And I'm going to tell you, this Nikola Jokic, 29 points, 12 rebounds, 8 assists. He is some special kind of a player. He really is. But Portland lives and dies with their backcourt. And last night, the combination of Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, 62 points. 62 points. And then the added bonus, Rodney Hood off the bench with 25 and Zach Collins with 14. 39 off the bench from just those two alone. That's the difference in the ballgame. So you get great guard play, okay. You get some bench play like that, and Portland's pretty good. I still think I'm going to go with Toronto at home. I'm going to go with Denver at home. All bets are off game 7 at Oracle Arena. All bets are off if it gets there. If Golden State were wise, they would try to end this thing tonight, right here, right now. Because, a game 7 with the offensive firepower that Houston has, I don't know. It's going to be really, really exciting to watch this thing tonight. No question. Meanwhile, the New Orleans Saints will have a mini camp this weekend with their rookies, and they announced today that they the signings of 9 undrafted rookie free agents. 9 of them. Let's go through the list of them. They waived running back Martez Carter and undrafted rookie free agents Chase Hansen and Jake Powell. Minicamp begins Saturday. 3-year contracts were announced for defensive end Carl Granderson, offensive lineman Ethan Greenridge, linebacker Porter Gustin, running back Darnell Holland, wide receiver Little Jordan Humphrey, tackle Derek Kelly II, long snapper Nick Moore, defensive tackle Shy Tuttle, and linebacker Darrell Williams. So a couple of linemen, a skill position wide receiver, a running back. Saints just trying to piece the things together. Hansen Maybe the most notable, a linebacker out of Utah, had 114 tackles, two interceptions, and 22 tackles for a loss in his senior season. Powell is a tight end out of Monmouth, had 15 catches, 165 yards, and two touchdowns in five games last season. So you sign all these undrafted free agents. Earlier today, the Saints announced the signing of its five-member 2019 draft class. So they've got everything, all the I's dotted and the T's crossed, including their first pick, Texas A&M center Eric McCoy. All the contracts for the players that were drafted are 4 years in length. And you're particularly interested in looking at McCoy this weekend. Their top selection is competing for a starting center position, but he could also play either of the two guard positions, and that's what the Saints like, that versatility on the offensive line. Most rookie contracts are slotted based on when in the draft a team selects the player, and that's all but eliminated the so many lengthy holdouts that caused so many negotiations to drag into the summer months. So the NFL got that one and got that one right. I don't know if the fans got this one right. They had a vote on what is the best time to watch a Saints game. And they put noon, the first time slot, television time slot. They put the late afternoon time slot, or they put nighttime games. And the surprise winner to me, with more than 8,000 votes, Saints fans voted noon as their favorite kickoff time for home games. Noon. No, I'm shocked that prime time, nighttime, wasn't their pick. Very, very surprised by that, to say the very least. Nothing like a nighttime game in the dome. Those noon games, I'm not so sure. But anyway, that's what the fans say. I guess they're so used to having so many noon games, but, I mean, Saints getting better, right? They start off on a Monday night football. So how about that? All right, so there you have that. Meanwhile, LSU basketball, they continue to add to their non-conference schedule. Two more contracts have been signed for the upcoming season. LSU is going to open its season on November the 8th. Oh, God. Okay. Whatever. Bowling Green coming to town. I mean, come on. Gee whiz. And then November 16th, LSU will take on and host Nicholls State. So, this is what it looks like, the non-conference schedule so far. Tell me what you think about this one. 337-706-0111. You can email me, askjordy@gmail.com. You can text us at 68683. Here's what it looks like so far. Bowling Green, you're on the road at VCU, Will Wade's former school. You've got Nicholls State. They go to Jamaica for the Jamaica Classic. I don't know who they're playing in that thing. Then you've got UL Monroe, UNO, Northwestern up in Natchitoches, and East Tennessee State. Are you kidding me? Seriously? Oh, by the way, and then they go out to LA to take on USC on the road, and then they host Liberty. So your home non-conference games, Bowling Green, Nicholls State, UL Monroe, UNO, Northwestern, East Tennessee State, and Liberty. What are we? What is that? What is that? I mean, that's just, ugh. Now, they will play in the Big 12 SEC showdown, so you'll get a better game there. But man, oh man, oh man. If I'm a season ticket holder for LSU basketball, I'm just like, why are you wasting my time, wasting my money? I mean, that's ridiculous. Now, just like baseball, UL Monroe, UNO, Northwestern, Nicholls State, they're going to come in here trying to make a name for themselves. And it's a big to-do. And year one of Will Wade's tenure, the NIT, and UL came up and gave LSU everything they wanted. It was a hell of a game. But seriously, that's the best you can do? That's garbage. It's a garbage schedule. I'm sorry. I hate it. I hate those non-conference games, those rent-a-win games that football plays. I hate them. I think it's a waste of time. It's a waste of my energy. And the players don't get fired up for these games. They'll go through the motions. They'll cakewalk and walk and win it. They're not going to get fired up for those. Come on. Man, we got to get better than that. Scott, Woodward, come on, let's go. That's not acceptable. I'm sorry. It's just not acceptable. Unless they're thinking, well, you know what? We lost all of our starters, and they're not coming back. Yeah, they are. And we haven't signed any recruits. Well, that's true. But Bowling Green, Nicholls State, UL Monroe, UNO, Northwestern, East Tennessee State, and Liberty. Wow, I can't wait to go buy season tickets right now. My goodness gracious. All right, we'll end that nasty segment. We'll be like LSU baseball. We'll flush that schedule behind us. We'll flush it, and we'll look forward to the SEC schedule, which will be good. No question about that. But, man, does that non-conference get you ready for it? Well, on the road to USC, that'll be a good one. But the home fans get nothing. Zero. We'll be back. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show. 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com.
The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you are locked into the Jordy Helfrich Show on 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com, and on the app.
Hey, we welcome you back. 51 minutes after the hour, big second hour plan for you and yours. Hot topics to start things off. Henry Hayes will join us. We'll talk about the NBA and all the dysfunction that is the Los Angeles Lakers. Is it time for the Buss family to sell the franchise, get out of it before it sinks into the abyss even more so? And do they trade? Do they even think about trading LeBron James? I would. I'd trade him. I really would. And then Ryan Clark will join us, former LSU safety, 13-year veteran of the NFL, and now doing television work on the NFL for ESPN. Love talking to those guys that are and gals that are successful during their time in college, and then after their careers are done, their sporting career is done, they move on and are equally as successful off the field. So looking forward to that. There's some changes coming, it seems like, to college basketball. The NCAA Men's Basketball Rules Committee today proposed moving the three-point line to the international basketball distance of 22 feet, 14 inches. If the recommendation is approved by the Playing Rules Oversight Panel on June the 5th, the rule would be effective for this coming season in Division I. Okay. You've got the current three-point line. You've got the NBA three-point line. The international dissects the two of them. It's right smack in the middle, equidistant between the two. I'm all for it. I think the three-point line in college is way too close. It's way too easy. And it's taken away the mid-range game completely out of basketball. Now you move it back a little bit further, and maybe some of these bigs that are out there just jacking it up, maybe they'll get where they belong and get closer to the bucket, and maybe we'll have some more people driving to the basket and getting some getting to the free throw line. So I'm all for that, and I hope that they pass that rule. The other major change that could occur is, and I think this is a no-brainer as well, is the committee recommended resetting the shot clock at 20 seconds after a field goal attempt hits the rim and the offensive team rebounds the ball in the front court. The normal shot clock's 30 seconds. No reason get an offensive rebound to reset it to 30. The NBA resets it to 14 from their 24. They take 10 seconds off. College is now recommending that they reset it at 20 seconds. 10 seconds off, because you don't have to bring the ball up the court again. And they're trying to continue to keep the pace of the game going. So I like that. They experimented with that in the 2019 NIT, and it seemed to not cause any issues whatsoever. Very seldom, unless it's late in the game and you're in the lead and trying to protect the lead, very seldom does a team get an offensive rebound and dribble it back out and reset. It's like, I got this offensive rebound. It's my turn to shoot it. I'm taking it up, and I'm shooting it. Very seldom do you pull it out and set up your offense again. But if you did, 20 seconds is certainly enough to get that done. So you're seeing more and more of the college game trying to get closer and closer to the NBA game. And now it's up to seeing whether the big rule change comes into effect is, are they going to do away with the one and done? And that's not so much college, that's the NBA. And that's those players, the Players Association, who are fighting that. They don't want new players coming into the league and taking their jobs. They don't want that because these rookies come in here on a rookie contract and it's far less than playing a veteran, the veteran's minimum. So we'll see. But I like moving the shot, the three-point line back. I like that. And I like resetting it on an offensive rebound to 20 rather than a full 30. I'm all about the pace of the game. Pace of the game. Again, we'll talk about the Lakers. They're just dysfunctional. They've become the Knicks of the West Coast. Just goes to show you how. Look, right now, the laughing stock of the league used to be the LA Clippers with that owner they had. Got rid of him. Steve Ballmer bought him, the billionaire. And now they're like regarded as one of the best run organizations in the sport. And the Lakers have taken a complete turn upside down, and they're heading down the chute. They just don't know what they're doing. They've got to get a basketball mind in there to run that organization. Or, I'm serious, Jenny Buss could sell that organization for billions of dollars and walk off into the sunset. She could go find Phil Jackson up in the Glacier National Park in Montana, and they can go get married or whatever. Whatever. But when you think of basketball, the teams that you don't talk about are the New York Knicks. Nobody cares about them. The Los Angeles Lakers, it's like a dumpster fire. And the Chicago Bulls. Who talks about the Bulls now? Nobody. Who are we talking about? Small markets. Milwaukee. That's pretty good. We're talking Golden State in Oakland. The Lakers. What a mess. What a mess. Pelicans are a better organization. Hands down. Hour number one's history. Stick with us. Hour number two, straight ahead, the Jordy Helfrich Show, 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pull off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans.
Streaming live on the 1037 The Game mobile app and online at 1037thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won.
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
Hour number two, and away we go. Welcome aboard. Thanks so much for making us a part of your afternoon on this Friday, May the 10th. The Jordy Hultberg Show, 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com. We do it every day at this time of day. We start hour number two with our daily walk around the sports water cooler. So, CD, let's hit that button, please.
It's Friday. That means we get you ready for the weekend ahead with five,
one, two, three, four, five
big questions headed into your weekend. Now, let's get it going with your Friday 5 edition of Hot Topics.
All right, CD. Five of them. Can't wait. Yeah. Let's get busy.
It's going to be a busy weekend, Jordy, and it's already kind of starting things off with some big news. I talked about it yesterday with you. Might as well kind of carry things over a little bit, Jordy. Disgruntled Lakers fans all over the Staples Center earlier today to protest the goings-on in the front office. I believe it counted about five of them chanting fire Rambus, Jordy. It's just disappointing to see the getting five Lakers fans to show up.
Apathy. That's a bad sign.
Yeah.
You can't even get a protest right. So that was kind of like the protest LSU tried to have.
At least they had more over there, probably.
Yeah, not many. Not many. So, gee whiz. Yeah, that's sad. What a mess that organization is. Goodness gracious.
Oh, it's not good at all whenever you look at what's going on with the Los Angeles Lakers. I think that was just another sign that things are in a bit of a downturn, and now rumors coming out in the last couple hours. JB Bickerstaff being that does not like.
Sheesh. Boy, does that float my boat?
I saw that. I'm like, who?
JB, another retread. My goodness gracious, you got to be kidding
me. It is absolutely awful right now, Jordy. And sticking with the NBA, who is going to have to step up tonight for the Warriors? Game six in that series, no KD. Who's going to have to step up the most?
Everybody, but Steph Curry is going to have to play like the Steph Curry of the MVP days back in the day. He hasn't had a very good series. I know he had a couple of buckets late that were very significant. Klay Thompson had a big bucket. Draymond Green had a big bucket in winning game five. But Steph Curry has to have an explosion. He has to have a 40, 45-point game to make up the difference, and he's certainly capable of doing it. We'll see. That's why I'm going to be watching, just to see exactly what you asked. How is his team going to react, losing out on 34 points, the leading scorer in the NBA playoffs this season, in Kevin Durant, and a guy who just, you know, when all else fails, you get it to him, and you just let him go. They don't have that now, so we'll see how the old-look Warriors, who were pretty darn good, come back into play.
It's definitely going to wind up being a fun matchup to watch tonight, but we're talking about Steph Curry. Seth Curry making some headlines as well after last night. You had him get poked in the eye by Nuggets forward Will Barton in Portland's win about midway through the fourth quarter. Yeah. He almost had a big scuffle and a brawl breakout. And my goodness, Seth Curry with probably my favorite quote in a long, long time, saying that's real sassy. They got a few sassy dudes over there, front runners, and we can't allow that. Just using sassy in 2019 is fantastic.
Sassy, yeah. You know, you can't be like Steve Kerr and drop a bomb when he's talking about his
on national
his
television.
Players. You can't do that. So sassy works. We kind of get the hint of what sassy's all about. So.
Oh, yeah.
It's not very masculine, but it still gets the word across.
Exactly. It gets the word across, but I couldn't help but to laugh at that. But what's no laughing matter, Jordy, is without a doubt what's going on with LSU baseball. Was that the most embarrassing performance you've seen from LSU baseball in the Mineri era? Because I know you've been around for a while.
Yeah.
You've seen a lot of bad performances, but just strictly Mineri.
Seen a lot of good ones. Boy, I tell you, that Tuesday nighter was a bad one against Louisiana Tech. And they've had some eggs before, but to give up five home runs like they did, that's the third straight game where they had double-digit deficits. They've lost four in a row. I don't know what's wrong with them other than, as the old LSU coach used to say, got to have a little chest. I don't see much chest on this team right now. I don't know. I can't figure it out. It's not just the pitching. The hitting disappears, too. So there's a lot of people. Here's what I'd like to see. Paul Mineri, go out there to one of the umps, take his hat off, throw it down, kick dirt on the umpire, and get ejected. And see how his team reacts to that. Got to do something. You can't sit back and keep being Mr. Nice Guy. You got to do something.
Got to do something. You'd have a kick in the dirt, throwing the hat down. I'd say also maybe say a couple words that we can't say on the air. Maybe what Steve Kerr said and add those add three letters and those three letters are you.
I understand. It's not Mother's Day yet. It's only Friday. You may want to say something like that. You got to do something to get this team try to find out what makes them work, because what you're doing right now just isn't working.
Exactly. It's not working at all, and you've only got a few more games left in the regular season. You need to start setting yourself up, at least for some form of success, to put yourself in a position where you're not having to play quite as many games with the conference tournament coming up in 2 weeks' time.
That's right. And now they're banking everything on getting Cole Henry and Jaden Hill back into the healthy mode. But look, these are freshmen. They've got a combined 10 starts to their names. Are you going to pin your hopes on that?
No.
I don't know. That's asking an awful lot of two young kids who hadn't been that battle-tested. So, look, apparently everybody says there's a lot of talent on this team. Well, the talent's got to step up. If not now, when? When?
Exactly. They're going to have to step up, and I think this is the opportunity they need to be able to do so. And last one, Jordy, jumping over to NBA basketball. Rumors coming out from Pro Basketball Talk saying that apparently Anthony Davis is still resolute in wanting that trade from the Pels. Are you surprised that even with the hiring of David Griffin and a new head trainer?
No. I think he wants to go west. And we'll talk to Henry Hayes about that. Maybe there is a team out west where that could be a good landing spot for AD, and that would also help the Pels in return. So we'll discuss that topic and more. Thank you, CD. Job well done.
You're
as
welcome,
always.
George.
There's your Hot Topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef, the best hot sauce in the planet. We got through the Friday Five. And, look, everything tastes better with Cajun Chef hot sauce on it. So bring you a bottle wherever you go. We'll take a timeout. NBA talk coming up next here on the Jordy Helfrich Show.
There's only one place you'll find all of the movers, the shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Helfrich Show on 103.7 The Game.
Hey, we welcome you back. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show, 103.7 The Game, brought to you by DC's Little Capital Exxon, I-10 at the Henderson Cecilia exit in Brobridge. It's my go-to stop. Make it yours as well. DC's Little Capital Exxon. I don't know if you could ask for anything better than what is being provided for you in the NBA. We've got two game sevens for sure, and the potential for another series that can go seven, depending upon what happens tonight. Let's bring in our NBA analyst, the legendary Mr. Henry Hayes. Henry, happy Friday, buddy. How are you?
You know as well, Jordy. Always be good to be with you, especially with all these great games on deck.
There really are. Starting tonight, Golden State at Houston, no Kevin Durant. You got to believe that Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are going, hey, you know, we won without him before. Let us show you what we can do now. But is it going to be enough at Houston?
Yeah, I think you nailed it, Jordy. I think public sentiment, you know, on the betting lines, they're taking the catnip bet, which is to say, oh, no, Durant, they got no shot. Remember, this team did a lot before Kevin Durant showed up, and obviously they're very, very good with him. But I've always believed there's a little bit of we got this without him. You know, Curry has not played well in these playoffs. He's had some flashes here and there, but for the most part, he really hasn't looked like the Curry that we're used to. And Klay Thompson, a little bit of the same. So I'm actually expecting that kind of championship grizzle and that veteran moxie of the Warriors to show up tonight. I think they win this game outright.
Wow. I can't wait to watch it. Look, we can talk about the Raptors and Sixers and the Nuggets and Trailblazers. Those are all a game seven coming up on Sunday. But I got to go to your wheelhouse, because what's happening in Los Angeles with the Lakers is just fascinating to me. I'm almost to the point, Henry, of saying, man, the Buss family needs to sell the franchise and get out of it, because I don't think they know what they're doing.
Yeah, Jordy, you've been at this a long time, and that's why I love coming on your show, because, again, you just summed it up in that sentence. You're absolutely right. Look, you look at the committee, literally the hiring committee to essentially, you know, coach the, you know, argue them and the Celtics the most fabled basketball franchise in the league. It's Kurt Rambis, who's a Sale coach, great ex-player. Kurt Rambis's wife is on the committee.
Jeez.
The youngest bus kid who, you know, look, your sports fans out there will know, it's so rare that you can find any family that does this the right way. The only example I can come up with is the Rooney family in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. They have done a good job of maintaining what that franchise is about. But every other example, it's a disaster. And I don't think this is any different. And you know what? Quite frankly, I think it's time that Jeannie Buss start getting a lot of this blame. The reason that she has not to this point is she's very cozy and chummy with the writers around the league. She gives, you know, she's an inside source. She's been very available. Look, she's in L.A., so a lot of those guys and some of those girls want to do the parties and be plugged into that scene. So she's got a sneaky good relationship with the folks who set image and storyline around this country. But for goodness sake, I mean, to your point, it's hard to screw this up any more than they have.
Yeah.
And then when you look at the Warriors, so – when I was a kid in the 80s, growing up with Showtime and Magic and Kareem, the Warriors were beyond a joke. It was how much are they going to beat the neighbors to the north by? And, you know, they had a little flash with Run TMC with, you know, Hardaway and that group. But for the most part, they were a laughingstock.
Yep.
Well, they hired a guy named Bob Myers, who is really probably between him and maybe Presti, the most respected general manager in basketball. And look where they've gotten now. They've gotten
now. Look, wait, Henry, draft picks. To this point, now he was an agent first, and he became the GM. So the Lakers tried to do what they're doing with getting Pelinka, who was an agent, trying to become a GM, and it's just failed miserably.
Well, in the Pelinka case, what they're doing is placating their former superstar Kobe Bryant, who loved Kobe, but Kobe can't score any baskets for him anymore. So again, it's this old line of thinking. And look, we saw this 4 to 5 years ago where the chink in the Laker armor appeared. Back in the day when you were on the beat and I was covering the Lakers, look, L.A. was the place to be. It was where if you wanted the Nike deals, if you wanted commercials, you go to Los Angeles. And they had such an implicit advantage. Plus, the weather's pretty darn good, as you know. These days, we've got guys like Paul George not even giving L.A. a meeting. Forget a contract. He won't even sit down with him, and he's from Southern California. So when you have a guy like Kevin Durant, who really quickly almost becomes the face of the league in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, the rules have changed as it relates to where these guys have to go now because the game is so popular globally and with the Internet. You don't have to be in Los Angeles or New York or Chicago any longer, and L.A. has not caught up. They still want every free agent to come hat in hand to the Hollywood Hills to say, please sign me. And not only is that not happening, most of these guys – and it's funny because now it's even worse because what you'll get is a lot of the good vets say, look, man, I don't really want to play with LeBron James.
Right.
I'm not second banana, and everyone in the league knows what that means to play with LeBron. Ask Kyrie Irving. Yeah. Ask Kyrie Irving how much he wanted to play with LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a huge mess. The other piece, Jory, real quick. Look, the NBA is full of billionaire owners. The Buss family is not one of them.
No.
They don't have a family business other than the Los Angeles Lakers. So it's really the perfect gumbo of a mess.
They've become, I'm sad to say, they've become the Knicks of the West. I mean, it's just management running a team into the ground. I've got to ask you this on a different note. With Boston being ousted as they did by Milwaukee 4-1, and Milwaukee's a really, really good team and I think a viable title contender. But what does that do for the Pelicans? Do the Pelicans have more leverage now, less leverage? What do you think when it comes to AD?
That's such a good question. So, boy, you know, fascinating things going on in Boston. At this, well, a little later than this time last year, everyone was handing Boston – you know, a trip to the NBA Finals because with the beat-up roster, you know, Rozier started to point. They were in the Eastern Conference Finals last year, and LeBron left. So you think, gosh, just go ahead and pencil the Celtics in for playing in June. Well, they add Kyrie, which at the time got such, you know, applause and great player at 25 years old, already has a championship ring. But if you dug a little deeper, and I never, ever liked that signing. I don't like his game. I still don't. You know, I think wherever he goes, and it won't be Boston, it won't be good. And we could talk about that if you'd like. But, you know, look, he walked into a pretty cohesive, good roster. Now, Hayward was always a question, and he's not clearly back yet. But you guys like Al Horford, who, you know, some of the best teammates in the NBA, great bench depth, and some think the best coach in the league in young Brad Stevens. And Jordy, it couldn't have been more of a mess. I mean, if you watch the last game and the way they lost to Milwaukee, you know, that team is a mess. So Al Horford can opt out. I don't think Tyreek's coming back. So what would that do for the Pelicans? Well, if by some chance, let's say Horford opts out, and for by some chance Kyrie returns, which I do not think is going to happen.
I don't either.
If you're Griffin, you can ask for the rest of the roster from Danny Ainge, because it's all Ainge almost has to do that. So, boy, there's never been a more intriguing offseason where there are so many big dominoes
that are
going to fall, starting with who gets Zion Williams. Who gets Zion is the biggest.
That's
and then
the
after
key.
That, we've got 59 other dominoes that are going to – it's going to be fun.
Couple of hypotheticals. If the Knicks get the number one draft pick, and they think they're in the running. They think they're in the running for Irving and for Durant. They think they're running for all these guys. If you're the Knicks, do you make the trade, Zion Williamson for Anthony Davis? And if you're the Pelicans, is that what you want?
Well, it's not as easy as that. So Zion's going to come in on a rookie deal. I believe his flat, Jordy, is $6.5 million. I think that's right.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get within 15% of AD's salary, which
right.
so that deal doesn't work. So you'd have to throw in. But look, the Knicks could do it. They've got some garbage contracts. And for once, you'd have to take your hat off to say, if they did this on purpose. And I say that's a gigantic if.
Mm-hmm.
But when they moved Porzingis, they got DeAndre Jordan expiring. So you can see they're clearing the deck for some moves. Now, again, I don't model them as a particularly intelligent and well-run franchise. But I tell you what, Jordy, I don't know. You know, I think the catnip of Zion Williamson in the media market of the world, I don't even know that the Knicks would have the courage to do it. Now, Anthony Davis, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant.
Ooh.
So, I mean, that's in the Eastern Conference, no less.
If Irving does leave, and he would. The only way they can make the deal for Davis is if, you know, they got to determine what Irving's going to do. Did the Celtics take a flyer on a one-year possibility on Anthony Davis?
I don't think so, and here's why. Ainge is known as such a hard bargain driver. If they think they have him for a year, you don't get Tatum, you don't get Jaylen Brown, and you probably don't get Marcus Smart. And if I'm David Griffin, I've hung the phone up by now. So we lost connections.
So are we back to the Lakers and that garbage that they have?
No, Jordy, I've got the deal for you. Here it is.
All right, tell me what it is.
And this is it's funny because of all the trade scenarios, and now let's put our Pelicans fan hat on. So Henry, save us. Here you go.
Here it is.
Anthony Davis is traded to the Los Angeles Clippers.
And
here's what you get in return. Montrezl Harrell, who started for them this year, is an underrated big
on
an underrated contract.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, number one. You also get Danilo Gallinari, who's a 20-point-a-game scorer, not the sexiest of players, but, again, you could plug him in at your small forward, and he will score 20 a game. So that's you get a starter day one. You also get Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the 6'6 point guard out of Kentucky, who rocky start. But he came on at the end of the year, and there's a lot of folks that I talk to around the league that love this kid's upside size. He's going to learn to shoot it. He plays hard. All right, so you start him at point and move Drew to the two, and you would also get Miami's unprotected first-round pick. And that could be the crown jewel in this deal. So you get you could say three automatic starters. Not only starters, but guys who will not embarrass you. You add that to Drew Holiday, some of the other pieces they have, and if you get a little lucky and that Miami unprotected is a lottery pick, I tell you what, Jordy, you could, and they have some cap space to boot, you could be in the thick. So, to me, the Lakers deal, look, we don't know if Ball's healthy. Ingram might not play again.
No.
Their pick is no good.
No.
The Celtics are not going to give you what you want. So, everybody else in the league, Davis's camp is going to tell them, look, we're only coming there for a year. So you're not going to get a premium package. So I think the Clippers deal is hands down the best.
I kind of like it.
Let me throw one more thing in there, Jordy.
Okay.
If you're the Clippers, you'd say, well, man, that's a lot to give. It is. But guess who just bought a $13 million house in Malibu, California?
Who's that?
Mr. Kawhi Leonard. So you tell me, Jordy, you spent some time in California. I lived out there. You know what property tax on a $13 million home in California is? It also tells me that typically is not your second home. So I think Mr. Kawhi Leonard is going to be putting on a Los Angeles Clippers jersey next year. So you put Kawhi Leonard next to Anthony Davis, and you add some other things, and you're right in the middle of it. So it's one of those rare mega deals that I think works out for both.
We will see. He is Henry Hayes, our NBA analyst. Always fun and very well said, my friend. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
Take care, Jordy.
All right, take care. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, former LSU Tiger, 13-year NFL vet, now a broadcaster, Ryan Clark, joins us on the Jordy Helpert Show.
Taking the hottest topics and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back. I always get such a enjoyment out of talking to former LSU players who are now successful in life after their sport has come and gone. And our next guest played at LSU, was drafted, well, actually signed with the New York Giants as an undrafted free agent in 2002. Didn't let that stop him at all. Played 13 NFL seasons, including a Super Bowl title, two AFC championships. He played a majority of his career with the Pittsburgh Steelers, 2 years with the New York Football Giants, and two stints with the Washington Redskins, and now a very, very talented and successful broadcaster for ESPN. Ryan Clark, kind enough to join us. You can follow him on Twitter, at RealClark25. Ryan, thank you so much for the time. I am so proud of you, my man. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, life comes full circle. I'm actually leaving U High now. My son, it was senior walkout day, so it was his last day of school. He'll be leaving, graduating here soon. So it's been a while since I was on that campus as a student, but it was cool to see my son, finish his last day there.
That is awesome. You're from Marrero, Louisiana. What guided you to LSU, and what do you remember the most about your time in Tiger Town?
You know, what got me to LSU was you've been recruited by these different people. And coaches from Tennessee sat in my house, Alabama, Arizona. And Jerry Baldwin, who was recruiting me, he was the first guy that told me, he said, we want you at LSU. If you come to LSU, we feel like you'll be great there and we'll be a great team. He was like, but if you don't come, we're going to keep playing football and we're still going to be really good. And I think it was just that honesty that I loved. That was just part of, of him just letting me know, hey, this is what college football really is. He wasn't selling me the story or selling me a dream. He was being honest, and that was important to me.
Very important, and a job well done. So your career comes to a close at LSU. You don't hear your name drafted. What was that experience like, and how much of a driving force was that in your pursuit of an NFL career?
You know what was crazy is I just never thought about it. You know, it was never about how I got there, or what
not hearing my name called. Like, it was never, this is why I'm working hard, this is why I'm playing hard. That's just who I was. You know, I continued to do the things that I felt had benefited me to that point. I continued to work hard. I continued to be focused on the task at hand, which is being the best football player I could be. You know, that's what I could control. And so in feeling that way, not getting drafted, it wasn't a deterrent. You know, it wasn't like I was damaged goods. To me, I just felt like, you know, you needed to do more. You needed to work harder. You needed to prove more. So continue just being who you were. And that's what I did.
And it turned out just fine for you. If you ever got into the Hall of Fame, what hat would you wear?
Oh, that's not going to happen, but I would wear a steel hat. I mean, you know, that was the team with the success. That was the team where I have some of my longest friendships and longest relationships. And, you know, when you win a Super Bowl, there's a bond that's formed between you and those men that you go to work with every day. And I think those things will never not be important memories for me, will never, you know, escape me. And even when I get older, you know, these are the things I'm going to look back on. This will be my time in the purple and gold and my time in the black and gold.
Black and gold, not bad. You won a Super Bowl, you lost a Super Bowl. Which one do you remember more?
Losing. I don't remember much about winning it.
I knew it.
You know, I'll be honest. It's like you don't win a Super Bowl. You just don't lose them. I was just relieved. You know, you have a great year. The number one team going in. You're expected to win. You're favored in the Super Bowl. I was just relieved that we won. But in losing it, you remember every play that didn't go your way. You remember every call that wasn't made correctly. You know, you agonize over them. And you think about them constantly. I still hate Aaron Rodgers to this day because they beat us. And that's never going to change.
That's never going to change. Ryan Clark, kind enough to join us. You retire after 13 seasons. And you're sitting there going, okay, did you know what you wanted to do? Did you have a plan in place? Take me from when you said, I'm done, and to where you are now.
Well, I knew I was done in about mid-November when I was sitting on the couch at my apartment in my house in Virginia, my last year in Washington. But, you know, prior to that, I had a contract with ESPN while I played. I was the first ever active football player to have a TV contract. And
awesome.
I went there. I asked them, could I intern? You know, a lot of guys go through and kind of just go through the motions, but I wanted to see what it would be like to do that job, see what it would be like to have that type of workload. And I did it, and it went well. And so I was all set up to, you know, go move into TV after I played. And it was a blessing that I didn't have to sit around or sit out or begin to miss the game. I was still a part of it.
The travel doesn't bother you. You just take us through a normal. You're in the middle of the NFL season. Take us through a week in the Ryan Clark life.
Well, what the week was usually Friday nights. I was in whatever stadium you high played in.
There you go.
To watch my son. Saturdays I would fly into Bristol, Connecticut. I work until about midnight on Sunday nights. Monday I'm back at it until about 4:30. Then I actually get in the car and they drive me to New York, and I worked from New York on Tuesday morning. I'm home Tuesday night, and I was back through the same thing every week for 20 straight weeks. You know, the travel gets to be a bit much, but, you know, I always tell people I'm doing something I love to do, something I enjoy doing. And, you know, anybody who covered me at LSU, they knew, you know, that this could be something I had an opportunity to do. You know, I got an opportunity to, you know, be in front of you guys a lot and talk to you. And, you know, I just enjoyed what y'all did. I understood the importance of it. And, you know, so now I get to do it myself.
Still one of the best interviews I got a chance to talk to. You ask you a question. You give a candid answer. You're not you don't give the coach speak. I remember that vividly from back in those days. And that was fun. I could sense there was the possibility of that for you. I spoke in front of all the spring student-athlete graduates last night in the South Stadium Club. And I said, you know, look, you put in all this work right now, and you've got a great foundation for your future. If you just take the discipline that you learned as a student-athlete, you take that dedication, that desire, and that drive, and that's obviously something that you put to use because you took your football career and took all those things that made you a very, very good player, and now you brought that into the real world, your real life, and look at the success you've had now.
Yeah, and I think it prepares you for it. You know, understanding competition, not being afraid to work. I think all of those things that student athletes can bring to the corporate world, to the business world. Mm-hmm. I think the bigger issue for us is finding something that lights a fire, finding right. something that we're passionate about. Because you play sports your whole life, it's something that you love to do. Honestly, it's something that you have done and would do for free. But the real world is not like that. So it's good to find something that you can be passionate about and really put your heart into it, because it shows, whether it's TV, whether you're an accountant, if you're a contractor, if you're doing something you love, it'll show in your work.
Ryan Clark, kind enough to join us. Who's the best athlete in the family? Is it Ryan? Is it Yonka? Is it Jordan? Is it Jaden? Or is it Logan? Who's the best? Come on, be honest.
You know, Jaden was a state champ in the triple jump, so she's pretty athletic. She's a soccer player. But I would say Jordan. I think he has a little bit more natural ability than I had, and it's been fun to watch him grow, fun to watch him continue to work. And, you know, I'm excited to see him play at Arizona State next year.
I'm really curious, as a NFL player, reached the highest level of your sport, and now you have children. How has it been as a parent, as far as how did you guide them? You talked to a lot of parents. Some parents say, hey, I'm not going to tell you anything. You do what you want to do. Others kind of guide and lead and give their support and give their stories. How did Ryan Clark handle his children? Because they're obviously high-level athletes.
I was much better with the girls. I am much better with the girls. I'm a lot sweeter, a lot more sympathetic to certain things, whereas with Jordan, I'm not. And I think it just comes, like, I don't know much about soccer. I didn't know how to triple jump. My youngest plays volleyball. So I don't know much about those things. I know a little bit about football. I know a little bit about being good at it. I know what type of work it takes to succeed. And so I was a little harder on Jordan, but it also brought us close. You know, I got to train him. We took a million trips together to see different schools and go to different camps. And it was really, we got to bond over something that we both really love. And I will say, those Friday nights at U-High at Jeff Ball Stadium were much more nerve-wracking for me than any Sunday at Heinz Field.
Yeah, I can only imagine, as you hold your breath, please don't get hurt, and you still want them to have the success that they've worked so hard for. It's tough on parents. It's got to be.
Oh, man, it was tough for me, but it's also, you know, the ultimate joy in seeing your children succeed, too.
Yeah, some state championships, huh? I mean, my goodness.
Yes, sir. They got two of them. They got two of them.
Why out to Arizona State?
You know, it was a crazy deal. I think he was always interested in playing in the Pac-12. Cal Berkeley was another school that was high on his list. He kind of understood his skill set, you know, wanted to play defense in a conference that threw the ball, a conference that spread the ball out. Mm-hmm. And he just loves the West Coast. We lived in Arizona and Scottsdale.
Yeah, it's not bad.
You know, every summer I would train there. And so he fell in love with that. And honestly, it was Coach Herm. He got to meet Herm.
Yeah.
Herm offered him a scholarship. Yeah. And, you know, after that was it.
So I got to ask you, have you had to build an addition to the home? I mean, your closet's got to be pretty expansive now. Dude, you're decked out to the nines every time I see you.
Well, I didn't have to add a closet, but it's definitely full, for sure. you know, I think the part of the job is, too, how you present, how you look.
Sure.
You know, and for me, it's exciting to, you know, wake up, put suits together, pick the right tie, pick the right shirt. It excites me about being at work and being on air. And so I got some new stuff coming for you this year, too, so don't worry about it.
Man, I wish I was your tailor, man. Now you'd keep me in business for quite some time.
For sure.
You've got a lot of kids out there that go, man, Ryan Clark is working in television. I've done it for so long. But I'm just curious as to what kind of advice would you give if you were speaking in front of the Mass Comm graduates today at LSU. What kind of advice would you give them?
Be authentic. that would be – that's honestly the thing that I think has helped me the most that I'm becoming known for is being authentically me, whether right or wrong or different, whether people agree with me or not. My thought, my opinion is a true one for me. It's something I believe in. And you don't have to – if you're not lying to people, if you're being yourself every day, it's easy to remember what you said. It's easy to know where you stand. And so I think that – for me, would be the one piece of advice I'd give.
That's awesome, man. Man, I can't tell you how proud I am of you, man. I don't know why I thought about you, but I did. I said, man, this man has really, he's done it all. And it wasn't because you were any better than anybody else. You just worked your butt off.
That's it. You know, and I think, you know, oftentimes when I talk to kids and they see that light or they see it on TV, they'll say, well, man, you know, you had to be this or this talented or that. And I was like, not really, man. I was like, I just worked really hard, you know, and you get the right breaks and God blesses you and you get opportunity to do great things.
Amen. Ryan Clark, I got to ask you, what do you think about the LSU Tigers 2019?
Man, it looks good. I think, you know, Joe Burrow gets another year under his belt playing here. They've added some things to the offense. I got to train Derek Stingley Jr. I think he's going to be a star at corner. Grant Delpit, I mean, he's the best defensive player in the country. If we can get this passing game going and run, I think we got a shot to win in Tuscaloosa because we all know that's what it's truly about here now.
Yep, there's no doubt about it. Hey, can you say some nice things about my Saints? Come on now.
You know what? It was so crazy. Like, it became a Saints thing, but it really was just a Rams thing. And so, like, even when I walk through the airport now when I'm in New Orleans, like, all the Saints fans are on me. TSA people are on me. I like to say some nice things this year before they put me on a no-fly list.
I know you fly first class, but they may be, you know, they may make it be even easier for you. Come on. You got to play the game, right? Oh, that's right. No, you're honest. You see, darn. I can't get you to play the game.
At all.
Well, congratulations on a very special day. And Jordan heading out to the West, that's awesome, and continued success in your career. We always look forward to seeing you, and we'll check out the wardrobe as football season comes on. So way to go,
yes,
man.
Sir. Thank you so much.
Thanks for spending time with us, buddy. Congratulations.
Yes, sir.
All right, buddy. Ryan Clark, kind enough to join us, the former Tiger, former 13-year NFL safety, known for his hard hitting, and now a great career in broadcasting. Not bad. I love talking to the Tigers that succeed after their playing career. And there's a plethora of them, and we'll continue to bring them to you. Not a nicer guy than Ryan Clark. We'll take a time out. We'll be back to wrap things up. The week for us is almost at a close. We'll be right back.
Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show. Live and local. 103.7 The Game.
All right, welcome back. I would say school zones are in effect because I normally say that at this time of day. But no, school's out. Yes, indeed. Boy, I hope y'all are safe with the possibilities of flooding here, there, and everywhere. So still be careful as you're out and about. And thanks so much for joining us today and all week long. We greatly appreciate your time. Let's do our daily history lesson as we do. It was on this day, May the 10th, the year 1970. I've become a hockey fan. Man, it's nonstop action. I still don't understand all the rules. I don't know how they get guys on and off the ice like they do. It's amazing to me. But it's great action. But on this day, back in 1970, Bobby Orr soared through the air, scoring in overtime to win the Stanley Cup for the Boston Bruins. I remember him leaving. He was like horizontal to the ice and stretched out and knocked it in. Just a great play, and, of course, an iconic play for Bobby Orr, for the Boston Bruins, and for the NHL. On this day, May the 10th, the year 1970. Birthday wishes. Happy birthday to all of you that celebrate May the 10th as your special birthday. You share with the likes of 59-year-old Bono, still singing those tunes in front of packed houses across the world. Bono, happy birthday. If it is your anniversary, happy, happy anniversary to you and to yours. And to all of you that are graduating today from wherever you may be, congratulations on a job well done. Now, good luck in the workforce. I spoke last night, as I said earlier, in front of all the student athletes at LSU that were walking across the stage. Most of them were there. Baseball players, of course, are out of town. Softball's out of town. Track and field. But the majority of them, just fine, fine representatives. Their parents were there. It was a well, well done event, and I was honored to be the master of ceremonies for that. And McKenna Kelly, the gymnast mother, of course, you know, the Olympic champion, Mary Lou Retton, she gave a speech, and it was just tremendous. The future is theirs, and the future looks really, really good. So congratulations to all of them and to all of you graduates, whatever level you may be, eighth grade going into high school going into college, college going into the real world. Congratulations and a tip of the hat to each and every one of you. Special thanks to our guest today, Wilson Alexander from the LSU baseball site of Fayetteville, Arkansas. The Tigers got to find something. They've got to get some momentum early in a game. I have this feeling if they fall behind again, it's almost like they've got no fight left in them. And I hate to say that about them. That's just the appearance that it gives. They get behind and they just can't fight back. They just can't. So thank you, Wilson. Ryan Clark, that was a lot of fun. And Henry Hayes talking the NBA. So it's been a great week. It really has. And I appreciate all the hard work that my producer extraordinaire, Clint Domain, puts in. We'll find out over the weekend who's advanced to the NBA Eastern and Western Conference Finals. We've got two. We already know Milwaukee's there in the East. We just got to find out who they're going to play against. Is it Toronto? Is it Philly? That's a game seven. And we're going to find out if Golden State can wrap things up tonight or if it goes back to Oracle for a game seven Sunday because there are four teams left, Denver and Portland, in a game seven as always. So the NBA is on fire, on fire. We'll recap LSU baseball. We'll recap the Raging Cajuns in baseball, anything else new that comes down the pipeline. So be sure you check us out on Monday. Same time, 2 to 4 p.m., same great station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. You can always email me with any comments, constructive criticism, disagreements, whatever it may be. I'm fine with all of it. AskJordy@gmail.com. AskJordy@gmail.com. All right, we have only one Friday, May the 10th. Make it a great day. Have an even better weekend, and we'll see you on Monday. Until then, I'm Jordy Hultberg. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty. Bumper to Bumper Sports is next. We're out of here.